O Heavenly Father, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I want to say thank you for this opportunity, for this wonderful privilege to be able to stand here before my sisters, my brothers, my friends, to share your word. Mighty Jehovah, may the word that I speak not be mine, but yours. Thank you, Father, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know you have a beautiful thing here, pulpit or whatever you call it, and there's a nice stage. We don't have this in the covenant life. But when I preach, I don't stand always with this pulpit. I like to move around. The last time I was here, I think I almost fell from here. But I will do my best not to fall. But please excuse me if I move around a lot. That is how I tend to talk. Because I used to be a school teacher. And so when I preach, I still have that teacher in me. And I try to teach as I preach. That means that when I preach, I come with a lot of Bible passages. I know some pastors don't like that, but for me, it's important that when I'm preaching, I try to give evidence for what I'm saying. And I like people to go home with something in their hands. Knowing that when someone is standing here preaching or teaching, you are sitting down here for 30 minutes, within 10 minutes, everything disappears. So I like you to go home with one thing when you finish. And that's why I like to bring a lot of Bible verses when I'm teaching. Amen. Now, on this slide here is Covenant Life Alliance Church in a nutshell. That is where we meet in the place called Gangadira Homestead. That's the homestead there. There are other people that use that building during the week, but we have this to us on Sunday morning from, I think, about 9 o'clock until 2 o'clock. We use that. Now, this is the entire church. Not today, but last year or 2 years ago, this was the entire congregation. This year, the Lord has added a few more people to us, but we haven't been able to have a group photograph because Canberra is a place of sports, and they do sports on Sundays. And so we have a lot of people who have kids and they are doing sports, so they don't all come every Sunday. And sometimes when we start church, it's just me and my family, and we pray that people will join, and they do join. Apart from teaching on Sunday morning, we also do a few things around. This is when we are doing our open-air evangelism at Gangadin Marketplace. Sometimes I walk around to speak to the air. Hopefully people are hearing me. Sometimes we sit down on a chair, and people come and ask questions about Christ, and we just preach Christ as we go. Now, this was, we had a Alpha course earlier this year. And we have a bit of meal, and this meal we are having. This person here is not a stranger. She was part of the congregation. And here we've done some baptisms throughout the period that we've been here, we've been there. And we've been in covenant life, I think, about 6 years now. And it's not been very easy, sometimes very difficult. Like I said, we don't see people a lot on Sundays because of sports and shift workers and so on. But we thank God that we are able to press on, and we thank you for your support, both in prayer and finances. All right, why am I standing here this morning? When I heard Brother Scott was starting to talk here before the song, I thought I can just go home because he has already delivered my message of thanksgiving. And he was talking about when he is feeling down or something, what do you need to do? You go to the book of Psalms, and Psalms tell us something very important. It talks about thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude. That is what Pastor Ben said I should talk about this morning. And that is part of your theme for the year, guard your heart. How do you guard your heart? One way to guard your heart is by always being grateful to God for every little thing, for every bad thing, for every good thing. for every big thing, have an attitude of gratitude. But this morning, we want to focus on that attitude in difficult times. Not in good times, in difficult times. And I have had a good share of living through difficult times. I want to share this picture with you. This is a lady. I don't know who that lady is. But I was looking for a photo. Now, for me, pictures are very important because they speak so much to us without having to talk. Pictures can tell you a lot of things. And we have a very good friend these days called artificial intelligence. Amen? I know that, yeah, we are not wondering. And so I asked the good friend, AI, through Copilot, give me someone who is really in a difficult situation. And yet in that moment, this person is able to praise God. In that moment, this person is able to say, thank you, Lord, for this situation. And I told AI what I wanted. I wanted a person in this situation, but I wanted two people. I wanted a black person and a white person together and join. But maybe I wasn't really clear in my request. And so he gave me a lady in a black background. So please be careful when you use AI. Be sure what you're asking AI to do for you. But anyway, it's a good photograph because it tells me that this person here is not denying the fact that she's in trouble. This lady is not denying the fact that something terrible has happened to her. Now, I don't know whether this is naturally caused by something that has happened or it's climate change induced. I don't know, but let's not get it climate change. But in this situation, she is able to go down on her knees. And I hope she's thanking God. But she's in that mood of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not denial. We are not saying this hasn't happened to me. Or we are not saying I am super spiritually fit because I'm always in my spiritual gym. So when something happens, it's not me. It just happened. No, it has happened. The doctor has told you that you are sick. Doctor has said you have 5 years, you have maybe 5 days to live. That is a fact. We cannot deny that. But even in that situation, you can, like this lady, go down on your knees and say, thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. That I'm able to experience this thing, this situation. It is an act of worship, which is exactly what Scott was saying when he started the song service. But when I don't know what to do, even when I know what to do, but there is a situation, what can I do but to thank God? What am I doing? I'm telling God, I know that you are here with me. I know I'm not alone. I know that in this situation, you are in control. And therefore, I give you thanks. Amen? How many of us have been in this situation, like this woman, when you were in trouble, and yet you were able to thank God? How many of us? Yeah. All of us. Amen? Yeah. All of us have been in that situation, and yet we are able to thank God through that. Why is that possible? Because when we are able to thank God in this, we are giving the glory to God. I don't know about you, but I was born in Nigeria, in Africa, where there are lots of demons. There are lots of demonic forces. There are so many things going around. And some of that is to deny you, deny us access to the Lord. Because it says, I will never leave you alone nor forsake you. I am always with you, wherever you are. But the enemy wants to tell us a different message. And so they can bring disaster in the midst of happiness. In 1996, I finished my PhD program. And I was offered a position to come to the ANU here in Canberra to do a postdoctorate. I was a very healthy young man. I went to the doctor. I have to get my visa. To get your visa, you need to go to the doctor to do a medical test. I went there, and they said they found sugar in my urine. I was diagnosed with diabetes. I was shattered. Because my father died from diabetic complication. So I was always scared of diabetes. And then in the midst of my joy, I've just finished a PhD. Then I've offered a position in Australia, which I never even thought about Australia. It was never part of anything in my mind. And the very next day, I was told I have diabetes. And I thought, okay, that is the end of me. And my wife said, no, it's not the end. Let's pray. And we knelt down and we thanked God for the news. I'm still here. I'm still alive with diabetes. I've never had any day with what they call high sugar or one of those things. Each time I go to see my doctor, he asks me, have you experienced hypoglycemia? I say, no, what is that? I said, I am a child of God and I am alive. Amen. But we give glory to God. Importantly, thanksgiving is the will of God for us. If you read through the Bible, look at the Old Testament, through the New Testament, one thing you will find, a common thread, is thanksgiving. People are always grateful to God. Look at Genesis, for example. Our first parents, Adam and Eve. We don't see them giving thanksgiving, but we see their two children, Cain and Abel, exactly doing that same thing, which means they have learned it from their parents. That's why they are able to do it. Amen? Thanksgiving is part of who we are. And that's why Apostle Paul tells us here, I will not use my Bible because it's already there. He says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. So even when you find you are in a very difficult storm, that is the very time you should give thanks. You should be thankful to God. If your doctor has told you, you have 6 months to live, be thankful that you have the warning. Because then you are able to put your house in order. Imagine someone who left home in the morning, told his family, I'm going to work, I'll be back. He never got back. He had a car accident. He ended up in the mortuary. His family went to see him in the mortuary. But you have a warning. In 6 months, you will be gone. So you have time to put your house in order. You have to be thankful for everything. Hallelujah. And so the Bible tells us here, in everything give thanks. Because this is the will of God for us. Thanksgiving is the will of God. And because it is the will of God for us, we don't have to struggle for it. We are already being wired. We are created for that purpose. We are created to be able to be a people of thanksgiving. That in every situation we find ourselves, we are able to give thanks. As I said, I grew up in a small village in Nigeria, where all around you see demonic places, fetish houses, different things. That you are able to live one day, the next day, you are always thankful to God. Because there are people, there are things that are eager, wanting to pull you down. And so when you live day by day, you have every reason to thank God. And as a Christian, You don't have to ask, why should I thank God? That is already who you are. By thanking God, you are merely demonstrating your true identity, because you are a child of God. You are a child of God who have been wired, created fearfully and wonderfully to give thanks to the Almighty God who created you in His image. And the Almighty God who loved you so much that He gave you His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to lay down His life for you, for me, for all of us. Being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb doesn't make us to be people who will now search for a reason to be thankful. We have enough reason to be thankful. That is why we have been wired and created in that way. I was so happy when Brother Scott, I keep mentioning his name because he did something so wonderful. Because he started with the book of Psalms. And when you go to Psalms, it tells us, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. Amen? Psalm 100 that we have here says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful to who? To Him. Amen? Are you with me? Hallelujah. It says, be thankful to Him. And it gives us the reason to be thankful. One, because the Lord is, again, hallelujah, you are awake. The Lord is good. And that is why He gave us His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to lay down His life for us. When we were yet sinners, because He is good. And because He is good, we come to the church, we come to His courts with thanksgiving. Without thanksgiving, we cannot really come to His courts. And we guard our hearts from things coming in by being thankful. I am also, apart from being a pastor, I also work in the APS, public service. And one of my jobs is to organize events. And one day I went to run an event in Newcastle, and we had an indigenous welcome to country. And they said to us they're going to have a fire. I'm not sure if you've seen them before. They put a fire, and they say, walk over that fire. Because when you walk over that fire, it will drive away evil things from you. And I went to the captain, the military captain who was in, and said, I cannot cross that fire. Because if I cross that fire, it will bring evil to me, not taking it from me. So I will not cross that fire. I said, I'm a Christian, and I'm a pastor. So I will not cross that. I said, but I will stand and watch them cross it. Because in my heart, when I give thanks to God, my heart is guarded against evil things. Amen? I say, my heart is always on guard against these evil things that you want to drive out by crossing that fire. So I will not cross it. And he said, I respect your faith. I said, thank you. So I watched and he did that. But the reason why I'm sharing this story with you is because we need to know that we are a people of thanksgiving. We are a people that God has called to give thanks to only Him through Jesus Christ, not through anyone else or through anything else. And because He is good, His truth, His love endures forever. Amen. Attitude of gratitude is not something that we do occasionally. Now, if I can go back to that picture, to that what we had, that those two photographs, we see a church and we see lovely food, lovely meal. many of us think, in fact, I've visited many, many homes, where the only time that we thank God is when we have a meal. We say, let's say grace, and we say grace. That is the only time we can ever say thank you, Lord. In families where prayer is not very common, the only time we say thank you is when we are eating. And if you live in the U.S. or if you have anything to do with the U.S., it's only when there is Thanksgiving holiday, when there is a big turkey to be slaughtered. That's when we say thank you. Or when you come to church, that's when you say thank you, because there it is mandatory. You have no option but to say thank you because you are in church. Amen? And that is where I was coming. Attitude of gratitude is not something that we do occasionally. It is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Let me just talk to you a bit about this guy here. I know this person very well. This person runs a small business. The business was not doing very well. In fact, the business was really collapsing. And he came to church. And we talked about it. And we prayed. And I said, just thank God that you are alive. What is struggling is your business. But you are alive. You have a wonderful family. You have children. Thank God for them. No matter what is happening, thank God. This business will come back. It will grow again. And he left the church that day. And he went for lunch with his family. And he was so happy. And this is Lake, I think this is Lake Ginendera. He was standing. And he was so happy that he just rose up by himself without anyone telling him to thank God. And his wife was so excited, he took a photograph and sent it to me. And I said, I'll be using this every day when I preach. But he wasn't in church when he did this. He was outside. This is a tsunami. I don't know where this was taken from, but I was in Bangkok shortly after this period. In Thailand, people have gone through difficult situation, but they were so happy that they were alive. They were grateful to God for saving them through this period. They were not in any way concerned about what they've lost. They were very grateful to God because they said they can recover what they have lost. They can recover them. So even in the midst of tsunami, they were still happy. They were very, very grateful to God. That is important for us. That is very important that we need to understand, we need to know that all of us, we have to be grateful to God for everything that we have, for everything that we do not have. Gratitude is not about what you own. It's about who owns you. It's about who owns what you own. And who is that person? God. God. He is the one who owns it. He is the one who has made it possible for you to be here this morning. He is the one who has made it possible for us to be able to sit down here, to be standing here in a beautiful place like this. Do you know there are people who are having church services underground? They are hiding. Do you know there are people who have church services under a tree? You are able to have church services in a building like this. We have to be grateful. Amen? But when we look back in that psalm, in where we just read, it says, in everything, Paul, who also wrote that, reminds us in Ephesians 5. He says, give thanks always. Not just in everything, but he says always, which means in every circumstance, we should give thanks to God. Whatever you are going through, whatever we are experiencing, we have to give thanks to God. Let me talk to you about this person here. We know what this is. It's a bushfire. But let me come to here. I've taken the face off so that you don't know who the person is, because I didn't ask for their permission before I used their photo. Well, this is a hospital here in Canberra. One Saturday, my wife and I, her name is Victoria, we were at home, and I got a phone call from a young woman. And the phone call said her son was very ill. He was critically ill and had been rushed to hospital. So we dropped everything that we were doing, and we drove to meet them in the hospital. When we got there, this boy was really, really sick. He was in very serious pains. But when he saw myself and Victoria, there was a big smile on his face. But in that smile, there was fear. I could sense fear in him. His parents were standing, they were shaking. And I put my hands around the parents, and I said, it's okay, it is well. And I touched the boy, and he was actually shaking. And I said to them, we are Christians. Let us be thankful, because God is in control. I said, when you get home, read the book of Isaiah 53. I said to them, by the stripes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he will be okay. He is healed. I said, let's pray a very short prayer. And I said, we're going to say, thank you, Lord, for this boy. And we will pray for him to be healed. So we did that, very short prayer. Whenever I pray, I always start with thanks. Thank you, Father. For he is the one. Whether it happens or it doesn't happen, we want to thank him. For he is the one who is in charge. He is the master. He is the one that every wave, every wind still obey to this point. It's not me, it's him. So we always thank him. And so I laid hands on this boy and we prayed over this boy. His parents were actually crying. We prayed for him and then we left the hospital. We got home and we still prayed for him at home. A few hours later, they rang me. The boy was fine. He had been discharged. And I said, thank you, Lord. I'm not sharing this that you will think, oh, Swami is one of these powerful pastors. No, I'm not. The Lord is powerful. Amen? The Lord is able to do more than we can ever think or imagine. But it is for us to always thank him, no matter what we are going through. Because when we thank him, he said, what? The peace that he has will guard our hearts. Amen? The peace that comes from him will do what? We guard our hearts. When we are not thankful, we cannot get peace. I mean the real peace. Not the peace that comes from the White House in the U.S. The peace that comes from God. Amen? The peace that comes from God. A few weeks ago, I got a phone call from Nigeria. My older brother has passed away. He died. And on that phone, my sister was crying. I said, do not cry. Thank God. Thank God that you are alive. We are alive. His time has come. He has run his race. it is over. But thank God for the life he lived. Thank God that we are still here. When we give thanks to God, we are giving him the glory, as I said earlier. But we are also receiving blessings from him. It's not about transaction. It's not what people teach about Malachi 3:10 or something like that. No, I'm not saying the more you thank God, the more you are blessed. That's not what I'm saying. Not a transaction. But when we thank him, we are simply living out our identity. When we thank him, we are giving him the glory. When we thank him, we are saying, Lord, you are the sovereign Father. You own everything that I am. We are saying, to you I surrender all my ambitions, all my hopes, even in this situation, belongs to you. Thank you, Father. Amen. And then it says, thank him for all things. Ephesians 5:20. Thank him in all things. And it says, for all things. So it doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. Thank him. Now, you see this house here. This is not me. Don't worry. It's not me. But it could be me. Because for the first 24 years of my life, I lived in a house like this. That is why I don't call a place like this a hut. It's a house. Because for 24 years, that was my kind of house. That was where I was born, in the kitchen, in my mother's kitchen, like this. It's only a little two little rooms. This church can be four times what it is. And that is where I was born. For the first 24 years of my life, I lived in a place like that. But my mother, every morning we wake up on her knees, we thank God for our house and for her children. And I learned thanksgiving from my mom, not from the Bible, because I didn't even have a Bible until I was late in my late teens. I couldn't afford one. But I learned thanksgiving from my mother, because he was always thanking God for what God had blessed her with, for this house and for her children that she was so proud of. And so I lived in this house. But when I was 24, I left Nigeria to go to Holland for my PhD. And this was the house I lived in. This is this house here, and this apartment here was where I lived in Holland. And I compared the two places, the difference. In this place, there was no water, no running water, no light, no electricity, no fridge, no TV, nothing. And we were very happy. We always thank God. I came here, everything you can think of was here. And one day I came from school. And there was a letter in the mailbox. And they said, next week, there will be no light, no electricity. Next week, you will have no power for anything. And people were very angry. What will I do for a whole day without electricity? And I was like, what's going wrong with you? And I asked them, I am from Nigeria. I never experienced 24 hours of power any day for 24 years. Nothing happened to me. And for one day, and you are very angry, you are very upset. And they said, but you are from Nigeria, you live day by day. I said, that's not the point. The point is, be thankful for what you have. Because there are people who never ever saw electricity, and they are happy. They are grateful to God. And for one day, and they even inform you earlier, they even have to write a letter to you to tell you, we will not have light this day. And you are angry. In Nigeria, they call it NEPA. You can be cooking and light is off. And you just keep quiet and you use something else. And when it comes, you jump up, you thank God, light has come. And here, they are giving you warning for 2 weeks, and you are angry. But that is a very little thing to what I've come to see in the Western world. that we have come to become used to so many things that we are forgetting to thank God for what we have. We forget to thank God for the things that God has given us. It's important that we know everything that we have, including this situation here, is a homeless person. Thank God for that. Thank God. For whatever you find yourself, wherever you are, always thank God. One, because it is the way you have been wired. It is who you are. It is the will of God. Amen? Importantly, God has not wired us and left us like that. He has given us somebody, a mighty helper, God the Holy Spirit. Amen? God the Holy Spirit. That's why when you read Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5, he starts by saying in verse 18 here, he says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of us here are filled with the Holy Spirit? Can I get the hands up if you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay, we're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? We're all filled with the Holy Spirit. As long as you have given your life to Christ, Ephesians 1 tells us that you have the Holy Spirit. So you don't have to go to a Pentecostal church to fetch the Holy Spirit. It's already in you. Amen? But you have to allow him to use you, to lead you, to guide you. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, he empowers you. Think about Apostle Peter in Acts 2. Before then, we see him denying Christ 3 times. When they tell him that Christ has risen, what do we see him? He doesn't believe him. Believe the woman. He runs to go and find out himself. But something happens. Acts 2, the Holy Spirit comes, and they are all filled with the Spirit. What happens to Peter? That cowardly man is able to defend his mates before the very people who crucified Christ. He tells them, this is the person that you crucified. This is what was prophesied years ago. Apostle Peter is able to do that. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can do wonderful things. One of that wonderful thing is to be able, in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of a storm, in the midst of death, you can say, thank you, Lord. Because it's not you. It is the Holy Ghost that is empowering you to do that. Let's see 2 people who did just that. Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas have gone to a city called Philippi in the missionary journey, one of the missionary journeys. They meet a lady who gives her life to Christ and is baptized, and allows them to stay with them in her house, and they do. As they move around the village or the city, a lady who is possessed by evil spirits goes on shouting around them, these are the people who are preaching salvation. And Paul gets very angry with this lady. And Paul casts out this demonic spirit who was being used by people to make money. And because Paul does that, the masters of this girl are very angry with Paul and Silas. And so they arrest them, put them in jail. If you find yourself in jail, what will you do? I will be angry. I will be sad. Importantly, when you are doing the work of God, and you're put in jail, you say, God, why me? Why me? I have been doing your work. Why don't you save me from this situation? But that's not what Paul and Silas did. In that moment, Paul and Silas were praising God. The first day I walked into this church, I think in about 2010, and when we are worshiping, people were like this. And I thought, is somebody dead? Somebody does. Before we are like this. And I say, when we're worshiping God, we praise God. Amen? We dance in the church. Paul and Silas, we are praising God. Before people heard them, they were not silent. They were not just on their knees quietly. No. They jump up praising God. The prisoners heard them. And when the prisoners heard them, something happened. There was an earthquake. The church, the building shook. Doors opened. And when the doors opened, the jailer wanted to kill himself because he thought, I've lost my prisoners. I'm in trouble. But Apostle Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, ran to him and said, don't stop. We are all here. We are all here. From thanksgiving of two people, the jailer and his family were set free. They received Christ. Because he asked them, what must I do to be saved? And of course, you know the answer. And they received Christ. If Paul and Silas have been quiet, hoping someday they will be free, that would not have happened. But they came up. They sang. They jumped. At Covenant Life, I'm always jumping. Amen? At Covenant Life, I'm always dancing. Because you have to be thankful to God for what he has done for you. Making you able to be here in the first place is worthy of thanksgiving. And you thank God, not with folding hands like this, or jumping up. You praise in him. Amen? Can we praise him like that? Can we do that? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, we can talk about thanksgiving, about different things, but we need to have a plan of action. I'm not saying that you don't do thanksgiving, you do. But I want us to do it a bit more often. Make it part of our lifestyle. Make it what we do. That is why it's called attitude. Attitude is not what you pick up one time and drop it. Attitude is something that stays part of you. It's ongoing. It's every day. Whether you are sleeping, whether you are up, it's ongoing. That is attitude. Amen?
Yeah.
That is attitude. So to guard our hearts through thanksgiving in difficult times, it needs to be every day. We need to make it a habit. Even when it is difficult, even during a storm, make thanksgiving a habit. I'm going to stop very soon, don't worry. But I want to tell you one thing. When we were trying to plant Covenant Life Alliance Church, I was very excited. I want to preach my first sermon. And one day I was praying as we were planning Covenant Life. I'm praying, and God says to me, you are not going to preach that sermon. Call Pastor Peter Loughlin to preach that sermon. And I'm saying, God, what do you mean? This is my message. This is the church I'm trying to plant. And he said, but no, Peter will preach. And I'm looking for excuse. I'm saying, but Peter is always traveling. I don't think he will be around. And the Lord was very strong with me. Peter will preach the first sermon in your church. So I rang Peter. And I asked him, will you be around in Canberra on this day? I was hoping he would say no. Well, he says, I'll be in Canberra. I said, okay. Okay, God, you won. So I said, can you please preach? He said, yes, I will do it. And he came and he preached. For me, that was a storm because I have been planning this for a long time. And God says, Pastor Peter will preach. And he was available. Oh, I don't know if I told him this, but I see him as my mentor. He was available and he preached that day. Another way for us to live in happy attitude of thanksgiving, of gratitude, is to share our testimonies. Testimonies are powerful. They are very important. At Covenant Life, we give testimonies every day. We encourage people. No, we are still very small. We can occupy just the first and three rows. But we allow people to give testimonies. Because if you hear what God has done for me, it can encourage you to know that God can also do it for you. It's also important for us to serve people. Serving is very important. It's an important way of saying, thank you, Lord. You look at Acts of the Apostles too. The early Christians, they were all Jewish people. But one thing they did was to serve each other. They sold things, and they bring them to the apostles' feet, and they shared around to people. Just like Chanel was sharing earlier, the youth have cooked meal and put in the fridge for people to be able to take, people who need them. That is an amazing way of saying thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And we have to be generous givers. And most importantly, always pray. Pray without ceasing. Amen. So I said I'm going to slow very soon. I know I'm going to be too long. But if you've forgotten everything I've said for the past 30 minutes, Andrew, if you've forgotten everything I have said, please, please, please remember these ones. Remember these last points. Gratitude is not denial. Yes, I'm going through a storm. But in that storm, I want to worship God. Yes, I'm going through difficulties. In that difficulty, I want to worship God. Gratitude is an act of worship. It is the will of God for you and I in Christ Jesus to always be thankful to God. Always. And it is. Not just always, but for all things. I'd like to underline that. For all things. I'm going to close. I said, when I finished university in Nigeria, my bachelor's degree, I finished as the best student in the class. I was supposed to be made a lecturer. They didn't give me, they refused for whatever reason. I knelt down and I thanked God for it. When I finished my master's degree, they promised me we will make you a lecturer. They didn't. I thanked God. A few weeks later, someone called me and asked me, Swano, would you like to go and study in Europe? I said, I'm ready. So from situation where I have been denied what I thought I should get, out of nothing, out of nowhere, someone offers me a position in Europe. I took it with open hands, and the rest is history. Well, you can see me here. But if I believe that without thanksgiving, without handing everything over to God, I will not be here. And importantly, gratitude is spirit empowered. It's empowered by the Holy Ghost. So no matter everything we do, always submit yourself to his leadership. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, King of kings and the Lord of lords, I give you all the glory, I give you all the honor and the adoration. Thank you, Lord, for this message of gratitude. Help us, O Father, that we are able to cultivate and to live out an attitude of gratitude in all that we do, in everything and for all things. Thank you, Father, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.